Don't just exist, live live on AWR SID Media.
We have the longest chapter yet ever since we've done this feature. I don't know if we've done a chapter with 60 verses. My goodness, we're doing that today. We do have the good pastor joining us on the line to give us some perspective on and help us chew on Leviticus chapter 13. Pastor Babalugi Musiki, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon and thank you so much for inviting me.
Pastor, am I correct? We're doing chapter 13, right?
Yeah, the 13, 59 verses. The long chapter.
Yay. Yeah, I don't know we've done a chapter that long, but let's get into it. It might take a bit of time to read through it, but let's get into it. From verse 1, it reads as follows. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when anyone has a swelling or a rash or a shiny spot on their skin, that may be a defiling skin disease, they must be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on the skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it's a defiling skin disease. When the priest examines the person, he shall pronounce them ceremonially unclean. If the shiny spot on the skin is white but does not appear to be more than skin deep, and the hair in the hair in it has not turned white, the priest is to isolate the affected person for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest is to examine them, and if he sees that the sore is unchanged and has not spread in the skin, he is to isolate them for another 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest is to examine them again, and if the sore has faded and has not spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce them clean. It is only a rash. They must wash their clothes, and they will be clean. But if the rash does not spread in their skin after they have shown themselves to the priest to be pronounced clean, they must appear before the priest again. The priest is to examine the person, and if he or the rash has spread in the skin, he shall pronounce them unclean. It is a defiling skin disease. When anyone has a defiling skin disease, they must be brought to the priest. The priest is to examine them, and if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and if there is raw flesh in the swelling, it's a chronic skin disease, and the priest shall pronounce them unclean. He is not to isolate them because they're already unclean. If the disease breaks out all over their skin, and so far as the priest can see, it covers all the skin of the affected person from head to toe, the priest is to examine them. And if the disease has covered their whole body, he shall pronounce them clean. Since it has all turned white, they are clean. But whenever raw flesh appears on them, and they will be unclean. When the priest sees the raw flesh, he shall pronounce them unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. They have a defiling disease. If the raw flesh changes and turns white, they must go to the priest. The priest is to examine them, and if the sores have turned white, the priest shall pronounce the affected person clean. Then they will be clean. When someone has a boil on their skin and it heals, and in the place where the boil was, a white swelling or reddish white spot appears, they must present themselves to the priest. The priest is to examine it, and if it appears to be more than skin deep and the hair in it turned white, the priest shall pronounce that person unclean. It is the defiling skin disease that has broken out where the boil was. But if, when the priest examines it, there is no white hair in it, and it is not more than skin deep and has faded, then the priest is to isolate them for 7 days. If it is spreading in the skin, the priest shall pronounce that unclean. It is a defiling skin disease. But if the spot is unchanged and has not spread, it's only a scar from the boil, and the priest shall pronounce them clean. When someone has a burn on their skin, and a reddish white or white spot appears in raw flesh of the burn, the priest is to examine the spot, and if the hair in it has turned white and it appears to be more than skin deep, it's a defiling disease that has broken out in the burn. The priest shall pronounce them unclean. It is a defiling skin disease. But if the priest examines it, and there is no white hair in the spot, and if it is not more than skin deep and has faded, then the priest is to isolate them for 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest is to examine that person, and if it is spreading in the skin, the priest shall pronounce them unclean. It is a defiling skin disease. If, however, the spot is unchanged and has not spread in the skin, but has faded, it's a swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce them clean. It's only a scar from the burn. If a man or woman has a sore on their head or chin, the priest is to examine the sore, and if it appears to be more than skin deep and the hair in it is yellow and thin, the priest shall pronounce them unclean. It is a defiling skin disease on the head or chin. But if when the priest examines the sore, it does not seem to be more than skin deep, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest is to isolate the affected person for 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest is to examine the sore, and if it does not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and it does not appear to be more than skin deep, then the man or woman must shave themselves except for the affected area, and the priest is to keep them isolated on another 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest is to examine the sore, and if it has not spread in the skin and appears to be no more than skin deep, then the priest shall pronounce them clean. They must wash their clothes, and they will be clean. But if the sore does spread in the skin, and after they are pronounced clean, the priest is to examine them. And if he finds that the sore has spread in the skin, he does not need to look for yellow hair. They are unclean. If, however, the sore is unchanged so far as the priest can see, and if black hair has grown in it, the affected person is healed. They are clean, and the priest shall pronounce them clean. When a man or woman has white spots on the skin, the priest is to examine them. And if the spots are dull white, it's a harmless rash that has broken out on the skin. They are clean. A man who has lost his hair and is bald is clean. If he has lost his hair from the front of his scalp and has a bald forehead, he is clean. But if he has a reddish white sore on his bald head or forehead, it's a defiling disease breaking out on his head or forehead. The priest is to examine him, and if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish white like a defiling skin disease,
Then the man is diseased and is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his forehead or head. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. You're? As for any fabric that is spoiled with a defiling mold, any woolen or linen clothing, any woven or knitted material on linen or wool, any leather or anything made of leather, if the affected area in the fabric, the leather, the woven knitted material, or any leather article is greenish or reddish, it's a defiling mold and must be shown to the priest. The priest is to examine the affected area and isolate the article for 7 days. On the seventh day, he's to examine it, and if the mold has spread in the fabric, the woven or knitted material, or the leather, whatever its use, it is a persistent defiling mold. The article is unclean, unclean, unclean. He must burn the fabric, the woven or knitted material, or wool or linen, or any leather article that has been spoiled, because the defiling mold is persistent. The article must be burned. But if when the priest examines it and the mold has not spread in the fabric, the woven or knitted material, or the leather article, he shall order that the spoiled article be washed. Then he is to isolate it for another 7 days. After the article has been washed, the priest is to examine it again. And if the mold has not changed its appearance, even though it has not spread in it's unclean. Burn it. No matter which side of the fabric has been spoiled, if, when the priest examines it, the mold has faded after the article has been washed, he is to tear the spoiled part out of the fabric, the leather, or the woven or knitted material. But if it appears, it reappears in the fabric, in the woven or knitted material, or in the leather article, it is a spreading mold. Whatever has the mold must be burned. Any fabric, woven or knitted material, or any leather article that has been washed and is rid of the mold must be washed again. Then it will be clean. Finally, these are the regulations concerning defiling molds in woolen or linen clothing, woven or knitted material, or any leather article, for pronouncing them clean or unclean. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Your comments, Mfundisi.
Yeah, this is a very interesting chapter. You see here the role of priests. And usually when you talk about priests in the Old Testament, the mind naturally gravitates to them being, you know, just spiritual leaders. But in this chapter, they are also painted as health inspectors.
Mm-hmm.
And knowledgeable ones, for that matter. They have to be able to distinguish a contagious skin disease or more from the one that is non-contagious. So this implies that there was a lot of education, thorough education, that Aaron and his sons and their posterity were given so that they can actually be able to tell what kind of disease this is. So that's one thing that I see from this chapter, one of the things that I see from this chapter. And you see that we trust with ensuring cleanliness, both a physical cleanliness and ceremonial cleanliness in the camp, as it were. And blending of health and spirituality, it emphasizes the importance of purity in all aspects of life for in this context for the Israelites. Mm. So these are the things that stand out as to look at the contextual, historical contextual significance of the chapter itself in the book at large.
Okay, let's get into the obvious part. There is no recorded time when these priests, these sons of Aaron, were ever trained for medical practice. Why is it that they are given medical work and yet there was never, ever time for training?
I like the fact that you said that there's no recorded history where they were given the training.
Mm.
And you know, when you read the Bible, even in the New Testament, it will tell you there are many things that happened that were not written. some things we read them like, okay, where did that come from? But logic dictates that if someone is given something to do and is commanded to do something, logic dictates that they must have been educated or trained in that at least. You look at the previous chapters of Leviticus, they were told that okay, when a person comes in with the sacrifice, what has to be done. So taking from that trajectory to say that they were taught how to lay the sacrifice and how to put one piece upon another and what to do with every other part of the animal. Logic then dictates that if God gives them this command, he doesn't, you know, expect them to somehow download the information from the sky or something. He has to teach them that somehow. He has to give them that knowledge somehow. Or maybe if he blessed them with that knowledge, like he blessed those who built the articles of the sanctuary, maybe he did that. But what we know here is that God gave them this command, and it's clear, it's very clear that then in him giving them this command, they must have known what to do. Because when you read the subsequent books in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, there was that aspect of people going to priests when they have leprosy, and then they were to be pronounced clean or unclean. So it says that they must have had that knowledge somehow, because we even see it in subsequent chapters and books being used.
Let's talk about the pronouncing. It appears as though it is not the actual disease that makes a person unclean, but rather the person being pronounced to be unclean. So I need you to clarify this for me, because you'll see that it depends on the perception, the skills of observation of the priest. And if the priest is not high or drunk or drowsy or tired, and his ocular precision is on point, he will be able to see what needs to be seen. But like any other doctor, sometimes even trained doctors misdiagnose things. Am I correct to say it's not about the medical condition, but whether the priest has pronounced you unclean or clean?
That appears to be the case, but when you look at the particular, I want you to look at the particulars of what is being described. It's like there is this contagious and non-contagious diseases. And when you're reading, usually, I know that the King James and you know, the other versions, they will use the word leprosy. Now, the term leprosy there, it does not refer to what you call Hansen's disease, the one that actually, you know, where a person's, you know, tissue decays and then they fall off and all that. But it's like a range of skin conditions. Some of them are contagious, some of them are not. And when you're reading somewhere, they're talking about the flesh turning white and all that. Like, this sounds like vitiligo, because, you know, where there's a loss of melanin and all that, and this is not contagious. The person has that, but then they are clean. When you read that, I was like, wow. And from the version that you're reading, like, this now makes things very clear. So it is basically based on the nature of the condition, or the skin condition. And this is where the knowledge and the observation of the priest comes in handy. As you said, they need to be very sober. They need to be not tired. They need to be fresh in their mind to be able to not make a misdiagnosis.
Is it possible, though?
Whether it is possible for someone to make a misdiagnosis. No, it is possible.
I agree with that. What I'm asking, is it possible that these men would always be alert? There will never be a time where they misdiagnose.
It's a possibility. Looking at the fact that, let's look at how the camp was structured.
Mm.
You had Aaron the high priest, you had his sons. Mm. You had people who were helping. It was not just a few people. And also looking at the structure of the camp, it says that there were this hygiene principles that were put in place. Mm. And looking at how people were obedient to the principles
mm.
or not, that determines whether the priest will be overwhelmed or not. But so far, reading in the book of Leviticus, or rather the first five books, the journey of the children of Israel, although to Canaan, you see that by and large, there was this obedience to the principles of health, especially biblical hygiene. And in the cases where you see this disease breaking out, it's in the case of when they are under siege, like in the book of First Kings, when they are put in one place and, you know, there's starvation and there's all that. That's the first time you see a breakout of such, not as a result of God's punishment upon the wicked. I mean, you have those instances where Miriam was given leprosy and other people were given leprosy as a direct punishment from God. But where there was a natural outbreak of disease, it's at times when they were put in a strait place, when they were under siege, being attacked by their enemies. And also in the New Testament. But looking at those living conditions, they are different from the time when they're being organized as a nation as they're moving from Egypt to the Promised Land.
Let's talk about the issue of voluntary quarantine, voluntary mm-hmm. presentation. This suggests that these people must have been very honest, because if they are to wear rags and they have to present themselves and they must walk around saying, unclean, today, Mfundis, I don't know. People get sick, but still they pretend to be healthy. People spread HIV, sleep around and spread people were spreading COVID deliberately. I don't know, Mfundis, if now this is something that is happening in your skin and you're covered. How many people really declared themselves, went to the priest, knowing that they would be declared unclean, knowing very well that they would be sent to the outskirts and isolated and quarantined? What is the practicality of this, Mfundis? How practical is this?
To add to that, my friend, we have makeup today. We can cover up our
uniqueness. Absolutely.
So you can see that it's the level of honesty is appalling. Looking at comparing it with what we have today, I mean, today we have stigmatized every condition.
Well, even in Bible times, they were stigmatized. That's why they were quarantined. They were told to shout unclean from a distance. At least these days, we don't tell people to shout HIV positive. I've got COVID. No one shouts these days. Then it was worse. They were told to shout and tell people, I'm unclean.
When I say stigmatization, I say it in the sense of here, it's like, the people were to know that if there is any problem,
right,
there is where they can actually find help and they can be helped.
Mm.
But today, although it's not the environment or the world or, although it's not like there's a law or an unwritten rule that we should stigmatize people, but whenever someone has a disease, especially if it's a disease that is contagious, it's like we, who are also susceptible to getting the same kind of disease, be like, no, this person has this kind of disease. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to interact with them. They must be a bad person altogether. Mm. I mean, especially HIV/AIDS. Be like, oh, okay, so this person, they did the deeds, you know, but the other way of getting that. The other way of getting that.
Mm.
So I'm saying it in that sense. And when you look at Leviticus chapter 13, it doesn't really tell us of the source of disease or how the disease was spread. Someone may just find themselves with that. And when we are reading, I'm like, this also sounds like acne, you know, red spots with whitish thing. Like, this sounds like acne. No, skin diseases of all kinds, of skin conditions of all kinds. And it seems like I'm just, you know, thinking over what you read and looking at what we read. Like, these people must have had super smooth skin, such that when there's any abnormal appearance, they have to go to the priest and say, please observe and tell me what this is. And you're like, okay, no, you can just go and isolate for 7 days and then come back and we can check you again. So it seems like this way people were used to having smooth skin, having no need to make to cover it up with any makeup or anything like that. So
finally,
that was the culture. Yeah.
Final question, Funis. 59 verses. No prayer. You go to a priest. Instead of this priest praying for you, he sends you away, he quarantines you, he tells you to go tell everyone that you're sick. No prayer, no healing, nothing. And only when we read the next chapter, chapter 14, on Friday, will we find some kind of cleansing from defiling skin, but still no prayer. I'm not quite sure, Mfundis, what kind of spiritual healer this is. In fact, if they are healers at all, should we pray for these problems that we have, Mfundis? It seems as though God doesn't say you must pray for your illness. You must just stay and grit and bear it. Suffer it through. Don't pray for it. Because nowhere, there is no prayer mentioned here in chapter 13 and 14. What's going on?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there are no prayers mentioned there. And now when we read these chapters, you know, it would help us to not read them in isolation, reading them in the whole context of the book, not only of Leviticus, but also in the whole context of, let me just say, the first five books of Moses, because it belongs to that group of writings. We have Exodus 15, verse 26. We have the laws that God has given that if they are kept, then none of the diseases that plague the Egyptians will plague those who keep the principles of health as he outlined them.
But I'm talking about a time for this when you have discovered that you are ill. You have a defiling exactly. skin. My question is, why is it that there is no mention that the solution, therefore, is prayer? Why is God not giving these guys an ointment? Go find an ointment. There's a root here mixed with this herb. Fix it, the problem. Why is God not giving them? They seem like fake doctors.
I'm getting to that point, and I'm driving to it this way, that there are those principles. So whenever they say disease, God wants people to see the connection between the disease or the condition and the principle that he has laid out. Because most of the time you'll see that with certain diseases, the solution is in the cause. If we just, you know, deal with the symptoms and not dealing with the cause, then we are not really doing any much of a good work. But and giving it time, as we read, people have to, you know, stay 7 days, seven more days. There's observation. And they're also told, no, clean, you know, just wash your clothes, wash your flesh. This was a way of, that was a remedy. That was a remedy. Although it's not explicit, it's implied. It's part of the remedy.
You only get to wash your clothes after you are healed. You're not washing your clothes in order for you to be healed.
That's why I'm saying that it's implied. It's not explicit.
How is it implied, Mfundis, if you're told to wash after you're healed?
It's implied in this sense that whenever there's uncleanness, the uncleanness will be gotten rid of by cleaning up.
But the text doesn't say that, Mfundis. The text says you clean up after you have been examined and found to be clean. Verse 53, but if when the priest examines it, the mold has not spread in the fabric, the woven or knitted material, or the leather article. Verse 54, he shall order that the spoiled article be washed. Then he is to isolate it for another 7 days. So the examination is there, and the determination is there. Then the washing comes. So the washing is not a remedy, Funis. The washing is merely to say, oh, it's gone.
Verse 54, the article is to be washed and then quarantined for seven more days.
Yes.
And then the priest makes an examines the article after it has been washed. And if the mark has not changed color, even though the mark has not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it in the fire. It is a corroding mildew, whether on the top or on the front of it. That's verse 55. So verse 52 and verse 55, you see that there is washing and then this observation to see, okay, does water get rid of it? If it doesn't, then burn it. That's why I'm saying it's implied.
Where is the implication, Mfundisi? Just point out the implication there.
Now, when you say something is implied, is this. When you do something, just take it from maybe, you know, maybe I go to a doctor now and then I have some uneasiness or some condition. Maybe I'm coughing and all that. Say, okay, look, you know what? Take this and then observe for 7 days. If there's no change, come back. So they're saying, okay, look, you know what? This pill or this medicine, if it works within 7 days, then it means that your condition is healed and the condition was this that is being addressed by this medicine. But if it does not work in those 7 days, come back. You come back and then they give you something else. So the implication there in that scenario is that that medicine that was given to use for 7 days was supposed to treat the condition.
Okay.
And if it fails, it means that then the condition that is being treated, that is supposed to be treated by that particular medicine, is not the one that I have. It is stronger. Therefore, to go back and get something else.
So just answer the last
one. Why I'm saying it's implied.
I hear you, Mfundisi. I hear. Just answer the part about prayer. And then our time is already up. Why is prayer absent here? Is the lack of prayer in these chapters, all of these chapters that have to do with ritual uncleanness, I think about 5 or 6 chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, throughout, there is no mention of prayer. There is no mention of medicine or remedy. Is this implied that maybe we should live with our sicknesses? Don't pray for them, don't heal them, live with them.
Well, someone can read that into the chapters, but then again, that would be ignoring the whole context of the Bible.
So then why is there no prayer then?
Why is there no prayer?
Yes.
Okay. I cannot give you an answer as to why is there no prayer. The way it was written is written the way it was written. But looking at Leviticus, Leviticus is more of a manual for the priests.
Yes. And this the manual does not include prayer for sick people. These sick people don't ever get prayed. They come into the presence of holiness, in the presence of the priests, and still they don't get healing.
The problem is reading this in isolation of the whole context of the Bible.
I'm talking about the entirety of the Bible, Mfundisi. There is no mention of prayer for the sick.
Listen. I'm trying to get to the point. You go to the New Testament, people are being prayed for. You go to the Old Testament, people are sick, they're being prayed for. And they get healed. So that is why I'm saying that if we read in isolation of the whole context of the Bible, we can run away with that and say, well, prayer is not useful. But when you read this in the whole context of the Bible, we say, okay, prayer is there. There's also the issue of what is being described here. There's also the issue of remedies that we read elsewhere in the book of Exodus and other books, such as in the book of Isaiah, in the book of 1 Kings.
With respect to none of these prayers.
So there is that.
None of these prayers you're referring to are uttered by priests. I'm saying priests are never recorded to have prayed or healed anyone.
Yes, you get to the point, you say that they are never recorded as doing that. But does it mean that they didn't pray for anyone?
Therefore, we cannot conclude that they did.
The lack of record mean that the thing didn't happen?
The lack of record leads us not to be able to draw any conclusions.
Excuse me?
I'm saying the lack of record does not allow us to draw any conclusions for or against the motion.
Yes, exactly. So that is why we need to read the whole context of the Bible in order for us to come up with something substantial.
There is no mention of them. There's no mention of them praying at all, Mfundisi. So we can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There will not be any reference of priests healing people or praying for people to be healed, is there?
You are making a conclusive statement, then you ask me a question. They will not be, and then you say, is there? Now, that kind of questioning, I cannot answer that kind of question.
Well, to your knowledge, Mfundisi.
If we examine, I want us to get to this with an open mind. If you make a conclusive statement, then it becomes difficult for me to respond in either positive or negative way. because you already made a conclusion that there's no record of such.
Let me rephrase my question.
Okay, can we?
Have you ever seen a priest praying or healing someone in the Bible?
Yes, there are.
Want to share with
us? There's a case whereby God is plaguing the nation of Israel.
Right.
And Aaron the priest and Moses are praying for the people, for God to take away the plague. The record is that God was praying for them. The record says that Aaron was praying for them, and Aaron is a priest.
Okay, for this. All right.
So there are those instances in the Bible. That is why I'm saying that we have to approach this with the whole context of the Bible in mind.
Okay. All right. For this, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time. For this, we'll do it again on Friday. Have a wonderful day. All right, that's how we end our chew on that segment for today with a good pastor. Very interesting stuff indeed.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.